You know, and so this his wife, widow, is sitting back there with her family. And Pastor got up and said so many nice things about the deceased. And so many nice things that the widow leaned over to her son. And she said, son, go up and make sure that's your daddy in that casket. Thought he might have had the wrong party. The older we get, you don't have to say amen. The older we get more forgetful. And my wife and I are experiencing that, perhaps me more than her. But I remember hearing the story about two ladies. They'd grown up all their life, went to school together, close friends all their life, married, had families, maintained a close relationship over all the years. And they got up in years, way up in years, and began to get a little bit forgetful. And one day, and again, they'd known each other for a long, long time. And one day, the one lady looked across at her dear friend, and she said, honey, I know that I know you, but what's your name? And the other lady, equal in age and perhaps equal in forgetfulness, looked across at her dear friend and said, how soon do you need to know? It's one of those things is where sometimes you forget your own name. I want to invite your attention this morning to 1 Kings chapter 17. You know, I'm glad. And by the way, Brother and Ms. Emery, it's a blessing, Brother and Mrs. Brindley, for Diane and I to be in your church. She and I were never blessed with having our own children. And yet the Lord brought us to the ministry of the college in 1973. And so right now we have about 250-some children.
Amen.
Spread here locally as well as around the world. Through college graduates, those that have attended college, those that we've come in contact with through the college, we're very grateful for you folks. But the reality of understanding that God is so good, and I know I can stand with confidence in your pulpit and remind you that the King James Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? It's not just the best translation.
That's right.
It's the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm glad also to know with confidence that your pastor reminds you this is a miracle book. Miracles recorded both in the Old and New Testament. And there's one story of a miracle that I want you to notice with me in this passage. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I want to have a word of prayer with you first. Lord God, we approach your throne this morning once again before we approach your word. And Lord, we know that missions is near to your heart, because it involves souls, it involves evangelism, it involves the winning of the lost to Christ, and it also involves the matter of obedience on the part of us as children of God. And Lord, as we look into this wonderful miracle story that you record for us, help us to glean this morning from your truth that, Lord, that as we saw this miracle and we'll read about its transpiring here in the text, that we might also still believe in miracles today. And bless your word as we read it now. Give us attentive hearts, attentive hearing, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 17. Look with me, first of all, just to two verses. In verse 8 and 9, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, this being Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And God said, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Two interesting persons involved in the story. The one is the prophet of God, Elijah. The second is this poor widow woman of Zarephath. And we're told, as you studied and read your Bible, that there are two sorts of prophets. If you took all of the Old as well as the New Testament prophets and you divide them, you could divide them into two categories. There are prophets that are known by their deeds or miracles, and there are prophets that are known by their words. Certainly, the ones known best for their word would have to be Isaiah, would be at the top of the list. The great book of Isaiah is a prophet of God. And without a question, prophets, the many prophets in the Old Testament that God raised up, the greatest of those would be Elijah. The greater prophet of the Old Testament would be the man Elijah, the man in our story. But here also, a very important person in this story is a widow woman, a poor widow woman. Herbert Lockyer, the Bible commentator, said that a lot of widows, the lot of widows, or the life of the widow from the earliest times identified in the Old Testament, particularly widows wore a distinctive garb. They were generally very precarious in their society because being deprived of their husbands, their protector, many widows in Bible time even were exposed to all sorts of mean actions and extortions. And hence, laws were even passed to protect widows and to uphold their cause. But the matter of Elijah is sent to one of those such people. Elijah being sent to a specific widow woman here in Zarephath. And I want you to notice, if you would, in the story, there's a word given that's repeated three times. And I want you to perhaps underline them as we'll get to them here in a moment. Elijah, as we come into the text, has announced a famine in the land, according to verse 1. And so there is a dearth, there is a lack throughout the world at this particular time. And the widow woman that we'll see in more detail here was preparing for one meal, if you notice in verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." This woman represents our society. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. Our society is dying, not only physically, but spiritually. Sure. And this lady says, "All I have is just this last amount of meal and oil. I'm going to make one final meal for my son and I. And then the outcome is going to be we're going to die." May I remind you today, because sometimes as Christians, we forget that we're living in a dying world. We're living in a society here locally, but as well around the world, of souls that are dying. And many of them, unfortunately, not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so here you have a widow woman that the prophet of God is sent to. Now, one commentator said, perhaps Elijah would have far been better for the widow woman to have been sent to him than for him to be sent to the widow woman. But here you have a story. And by the way, as I said earlier on, I believe missions is a miracle. Missions, when rightly done and biblically carried out, is a miracle. Missions is the matter of a divine and holy God divinely choosing to use human instruments such as you and I and missionaries around the world to win souls to Jesus Christ, which is a miracle. But here you have in the Old Testament a miracle. Now, here's the story. Here you find the prophet Elijah is sent from the wantonness of Zion to the widow of Zarephath. Now, I want you to notice the word that I want you to underline if you choose to. What you notice, first of all, in verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And the Lord said, Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman," not a, but "the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he," the prophet, "called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it," that is the water, "he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not," I want you to underline the word "not," "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." want you to notice the statement, I have not. The widow woman says upon the request of the prophet, I don't have it. I have not. The widow was a woman of faith. In verse 6, it says of her that God says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God was sending his choice prophet to a chosen person who happened to be a widow, that God would use that to sustain him. Elijah arrives at the widow woman's place, thirsty and hungry. And if you'll notice there in verse 10, he first of all says to her, to the widow woman, fetch me a little water. Now, I can almost hear this widow woman think out loud, knowing he was a preacher and knowing most preachers are hungry. But he just said, fetch me a little water. And maybe she's thinking in her mind, boy, I'm so glad. I've got water I have. Maybe she's thinking out loud or in her own heart, boy, I'm glad he didn't ask me for any food like a Baptist preacher would, but just a little water. And then as she's going to fetch the water, and then he adds this, and fetch me a little cake also. A little cake also. So she went from relief that she could provide the water to the matter of restriction, in the matter that she admits, I have not a cake. I have not a cake. Depression moves in. And she sees only death as the outcome. But I want you to look with me again to the details of verse 12. There are three containers or measurements in this verse. Notice, if you would, again, verse 12, the measurement of a barrel. A barrel was a wooden container that they would keep their meal in, much like ladies today have a flour container in a canister. So this widow woman had a barrel that would be the container for her meal. And then notice the second container. She said, I have a cruse. Cruses were made of clay, little clay bottles, that they would keep their olive oil in for cooking purposes primarily. And she said, so I have this barrel. Well, I keep my meal. I have the cruse, a small earthen vessel where I keep my oil. And then notice the third measurement that she gives. She says, I have but a handful. I have but a handful. You see, God knew of the widow woman's extremity. And he may have even heard the widow woman scraping the bottom of that barrel to try and come up with enough food to prepare one cake for the prophet. And maybe God indeed in his divine sovereignty knew full well, certainly he knew full well of her extremity, and yet he sent a prophet to her. And maybe indeed God heard her scraping as best as what she could to come up with every grain of meal that she could to provide for the prophet. Maybe it's like those of you that are parents or grandparents and you have the kids in you get up late at night and you decide you're going to have a peanut butter sandwich. And you go in and you open up the jar of peanut butter and you find that your teenagers had gotten to it before you had. And you take your knife and you scrape down in around all the nooks and the crannies trying to get the last ounce of peanut butter out of that jar to put a little bit on the bread. And maybe if you can get that picture, this widow woman went through something of that same extreme. She's scraping the corners of this barrel to come up with enough meal to just make one little cake for her son and herself so that she could die. And she said, but I have. And the wording here to me is precious. She said, I have not a cake. By the way, can I make this comparison? In our society today, politically and in so many economically, in our society today, we have the haves and the have-nots. We have those that seem to be living in abundance, millionaires, and those that are financially quite wealthy, and then there's the rest of us. We're the have-nots. We don't have all of that superabundance of the millionaires in our society. But can I say this? 52 years of experience has taught me that our type of churches, and your church being one of them, has not been built by some millionaire. It's not been built by some guy that came in and said, hey, I'm going to write a $10 million check and start Southside Baptist Church. Or some guy comes in and drops a $20 million check in your offering plate. First of all, you'd have to pick your pastor up from off the floor. Our churches have not been built and are not being built for the most part by those that are the wealthy or those that are the haves. But our churches are being built by the have-nots. We're not the wealthy. We don't have the big paying jobs. We don't have all of the successes of the world. But I'm here to tell you that a group of have-nots, like this widow woman, when they give to God, is going to be far greater than a millionaire that could write a check to cover the whole thing. Amen. And so this woman says, I'm among the have-nots. I have not a cake. But what she did have, as she later admits here, is she said, I have a handful of meal. I have not a cake. I don't have any extra bread. And she said, but all I have is just a handful of meal. Can you get the picture, ladies, if you use cornmeal and you were to go home today and you were to take out of your cornmeal or out of your flour container and just put enough to put in the palm of your hand? This widow woman says, Prophet Elijah, this is the best I can have. All I have is this handful. It's a handful of meal. If the Lord were to ask the widow woman, what's in your hand? She'd had to have said, Lord, it's just a handful of meal. The Lord might have, in the Old Testament, asked Abraham as he and Isaac stood on the top of Mount Moriah, Abraham, what's that in your hand? And Abraham would have admitted, Lord, it's a knife. I'm going to sacrifice Elijah. I'm going to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to you. What's in your hand, Noah? Well, Noah would say, well, Lord, it's nothing but a hammer. But in Abraham's case, God provided a ram caught in the thicket. What's that in your hand, Noah? Well, Noah would have to say, well, Lord, it's nothing but a hammer. But God said, if you let me yield that hammer for you, we can build a boat big enough to save your family from devastation. That's a miracle. What's in your hand, Moses, in the Old Testament? And Moses would have had to have said, well, Lord, it's nothing but an old shepherd's rod. And God said to Moses, if you give me what's in your hand, I'll give you the power of God that'll turn the supernatural things into God and it'll divide the Red Sea for the deliverance of God's people. There'd be a miracle happen, Moses. David, what's that in your hand? Oh, little David would say, well, Lord, it's nothing but a little old slingshot. I just went slinging rocks around throughout. But God said, listen, David, if you'll give that slingshot to me, you put a stone in there and you use that slingshot in your hand and you fling it in just the right direction, you use that for the miracle of dropping a Goliath, a giant. All you have to do is just give that slingshot to God. The little lad in the New Testament, Pastor Emery, God is leading him out to feed his brothers that were shepherds. And he stopped by on his way out. This is my part of the story. The little boy stopped by on his way out to feed his brothers. He stopped at McDonald's and he bought 5 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. That's an exaggeration, isn't it? But he did indeed. In the story, the little lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord said unto him, lad, if you'll give me those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you'll see a miracle performed. There'll be enough out of those fishes and loaves to feed 5,000 or more. That's a miracle, isn't it? And you might even say again to the widow woman, widow of Zarephath, ready to die, what's that in your hand? And she say, well, Lord, it's nothing but a little handful of meal. Come Faith Promise Sunday, you hold this gold card in your hand. I want you to ask yourself this question that God would ask you. What's that in your hand? You realize that what you have in your hand in making a faith promise commitment to this church can see miracles performed. Souls won on Fordham Field, souls won here at home, miracles performed because you gave your little bit. Oh, you don't have to give a great bit.
Right.
All you have is a little meal in your hand. But if you give that little bit, God will multiply it.
Amen.
I heard a missionary make a statement. I wrote it down in my Bible, having heard it several years ago. And the statement is this: God will not give you what's in his hand until you give him what's in yours. God will not give you what's in his hand. Now, I would much sooner have my God provide for me than my meager efforts to try and provide for myself. But God will not give you or I what's in his hand, what he's willing to give us, until we have given to him what's in ours. So the woman, the widow Zarephath, says, I have but a handful of meal in a cruse of oil. So I have not. Drop down in the story further with me, if you would, to verse 13. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, after he heard that from the widow. Now keep in mind, God had sent him there. He now learns of this woman's desperate straits. And in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. There's not again. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So we go from the widow woman's admission, I have not, to the matter of Elijah's instruction and admonition, fear not, fear not. Fear is a common commodity in all of us that are humans. Many times we have our human fears. I'm not a real fan of spiders or snakes. Other things that might cause fear is the matter of extreme heights, okay? I don't know what your phobias or fears may be. Some people are fearful of the future. By the way, for the child of God, your future is based on the promises of God. Some are fearful concerning their health. What if I end up having declining years or have an automobile accident? And they dwell on the matter of their fears of life. There are others that have fears about their finances, of how they're going to succeed and how they're going to survive. So all of us, perhaps to varying degree, have our fears. But here the prophet of God, the word of God, God having sent the prophet there, tells the woman that she ought not fear. See, God knew the widow. He knew of her extremities. As I said a while ago, he heard the scraping of the bottom of the barrel. But the widow's eyes, understandably, were on that little handful of meal in the barrel and a little bit of oil in the cruse. And the widow made the conclusion that it was physically impossible for her to have enough to make a cake for she and her son, and then die, let alone now the prophet of God wants a cake made for him. But her eyes were on the handful of meal. Elijah's eyes were on the God who provides.
Amen.
Elijah's eyes were on the God who provides. Now, I'm going to make an admission to you, Elijah's statement here. When he says, make me first a cake. I'm going to make a confession to you. I used to really struggle with that. Elijah's statement used to really bug me. I thought, why, you egotistical preacher, requiring this dear woman to make you first before she could do anything else. And I used to think how obnoxious. I get disturbed sometimes with some of us as preachers that are constantly poor me-ing, you know, missionaries sometimes that will pour me around and I need money for this or I need money for that, and it bugs me. It used to bug me as a pastor. And Elijah's statement used to bug me. I'm thinking, Elijah, this woman has already said she doesn't have it. And now you're telling her not to fear, but to make you first. And you know, it took me a while to learn it, Pastor Brennelly, but I finally learned that Elijah wasn't telling the woman to put him first. He was telling the woman to put God first. Amen. If you put Elijah's God first, if you put the God of the Bible first in your life, he'll provide your needs. Amen. She said, but I have but a little handful of meal, just meager provisions. But Elijah said, if you give that little handful of meal to make God's prophet a cake first, then God will provide for you. It wasn't an arrogant statement. It wasn't a presumptuous statement. Elijah's advice to the worried woman was that indeed that if she made God first, that indeed God would provide. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in our giving, the priority is that we're to put God first in regard to the matter of our needs being supplied. In giving God priority, we overcome our fears. So she says, I have not. And he says, fear not. But I want you to notice, if you would, resuming now again in verse 14 of the text, in verse 14. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I like that authority. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal, here's the word again, not, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail unto the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Wasted not. She said, I have not. He said, fear not. But now God says that barrel of meal wasted not. The barrel of meal wasted not. It turned out that here was a woman preparing to make a final meal and then die. And God, having sent the prophet there, supplies miraculously the need of this woman because she gave what little that she had to a great God. The matter of the greatness of the God. There we read about it in verses 14 and 15. The widow woman gave her all. She didn't withhold anything. She had but a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruse. In making God's will her first concern, God made her need his first concern. When you and I have been honest with God in our giving and in our living, God will provide our needs. My God, according to Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The reason sometimes you and I don't have our needs met is because we're robbing God. We're not honest with God. We say, well, Lord, I can't afford to do it. As I said a while ago, you can't afford not to. If you want God to bless you financially, make sure he's at the top of your giving. So the widow woman had but little, but God made it great. Commentator said, for that one meal afforded him, the prophet, God, by miraculous increase of the little stock she had, afforded many days to her. Matter of fact, to be specific, in verse 15, the woman, having given her all, had a 3-year subscription to all of the meal and all of the oil that she could use for 3 years beyond. I think there's a valuable lesson that sometimes young people don't learn soon enough. There's an Amish proverb that I think some of us up in years wish we had applied a little earlier. The obvious proverb is this: too soon old, too late smart. We wait until we get old to learn some lessons that we only wish we could have learned a lot younger. And here this widow woman believes God, and she gives all that she had, that little handful of meal and a little cruse of oil. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, says concerning this story, the oil and the meal, Spurgeon said, "There never was more in the barrel than there was at the first. There was a handful at night and a handful the next morning. But there were never two handfuls there at a time. The barrel never filled, and the cruse never filled, and yet neither ever emptied. The store of goods was little, but it was always sufficient for the day." Another lesson that I hope that all of us might learn as soon as possible is we need to live life dependent upon God a day at a time. We need to trust God a day at a time. I'll give you this and I'll close. This was a miracle. This was miraculous. How else could a handful of meal and a cruse of oil, a few drops of oil, perform the great miracle that was performed here for them for many days? For 3 years, the oil and the meal would be provided. I gave you three measurements a while ago. I said in verse 12, notice the barrel, the cruse, and the handful. I give you this as a challenge. It depends on whose hand it is. It depends on whose hand it is that is full. It so happened that the hand that was full was the hand that Elijah could see, God's hand. God could easily have filled that barrel to the tip, but he did not do that. He let them live, that being the widow, her son, and the prophet. Literally, as the old proverb says, from hand to mouth. But it was from God's hand to their mouth. Every good gift cometh down from the Father above. You see, the measurement of the miracle here was that it was God's hand that indeed would provide for them. This is a miracle. A little bit of meal and a few drops of oil that was more than sufficient to last for 3 years. That's a miracle. God's hand opened upon you and I. Say this in closing. A candy store had a big, clear plastic bowl full of M&Ms. And it had a hole in the plastic bowl that could be reached into with a sign up above it. Free handful of M&Ms. And a little girl looked at that big bowl of M&Ms lovingly. And knowing that she could get a handful for free, she went to her father and she said, "Daddy, come over here to the candy bowl. Daddy, you get my handful for me." Now, a father's hand is a lot bigger than a little girl's hand. And I would much sooner have what my father's hand has in store for me than what my meager means of meal and oil could last. The reality of understanding that this is a miracle. It went from a woman who openly admitted, "I have not," to the manner of the prophet of God comforting her by the words, "Fear not. Make me first, make God first." And then the barrel never went dry. The cruse never dried up. For 3 years and beyond, God supplied this widow woman's needs. And I'm here to tell you that the God of Elijah is the same God today. The God of the Bible then is the same God today. He's willing to meet my needs as well as yours. But are we willing to put him first? Are we willing to give our little bit, our meager means, and say, "Lord, I'm going to give you my little bit and then trust you to meet my needs"? But he will do it. What's in your hand? As you fill out this faith promise card to participate to some degree in this year's missionary giving, I hope the Lord will echo in your ears come that Sunday the question that I'm asking you today, what's in your hand? What are you going to do to see God do the miraculous in the matter of your giving of your little or your giving of your great, but to see God multiply it? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us.